Okay, EDHLAS monitoring. Testing distance on statewide 1. I am at Gratiot and Division, KEHLAX.
This is KEA, WUO, statewide 1.
NAWRO.
Top of the morning to you, sir. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Got a lot done last night. How are you doing, John?
I am good. I also got a fair amount done last night. Got pretty far with WinLink. I got it talking to the Detroit gateway. Wasn't able to fully connect, so I still got to play with some audio settings, I think. But for the most part, I got the sound modem working. I got WinLink, you know, talking to it, and I'd say the hard part's done. Now I just got to fine-tune it, and I just kind of ran out of time last night. But yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty happy with what I got. And what about you? What all did you get done last night?
Well, the boss asked for a little bit of a PowerPoint presentation, so gosh, I haven't hit one of those in years. So I did my best, and I sent it to him. I'm hoping he can open the file. But it's one of those things, when you send it through email, then it doesn't like to open. But I changed some settings. Now I have it on the thumb drive, and it opens. So I think it'll be fine. I just hit a few topics. Just real quick, the postcard project, and that's if there's time. And then the more important thing would be our DMR learnings lately, I guess you would say. The little bullet points of what we've learned so far with programming the code plugs. And I think that was it. And then right now I'm about ready to hit send and send out that latest membership roster with the unit numbers on Discord. So, yeah, making some progress here. Looking forward to the meeting, too.
Yeah, likewise. I'm also looking forward to the meeting, and sounds good. And that's one of the struggles I run into is, like, I made a net log for Warren Cert, and it's got, you know, macros in it. And when you send an email with that has the potential for scripts, there's a thing called the mark of the web. And that will basically, the computer knows it marks the file as it was found on the web or downloaded from an email. And that triggers some security warnings. And it's kind of annoying because it's like, well, how do I distribute this without freaking everybody out? And because, you know, it'll warn you. It's disabled macros because it's an untrusted source. And then I've looked at making myself a trusted source, and it's basically you have to register with Microsoft and, you know, give them a bunch of information about yourself and your ID and all that, and then it costs like $1,000 a year. So it's like, well, I don't know how much I want to be a trusted source. Either people use it or they don't. That's kind of where I'm at right now. But I am thinking about it because I need it kind of for work, and I'm seeing a use for it in ham radio. So we'll see.
Well, I appreciate that explanation. I was about ready to ask that. I was about ready to email you earlier saying, what am I doing wrong? Can you get this file open? And I just ended up putting it on the thumb drive, so if Dave can't open it, then I have it on the thumb drive, and it should work. And even if it doesn't work, it's not that big deal. I can just do a talk about what we did, and yeah, that's interesting. Mark of the web, eh? I haven't heard that one. I even downloaded it or uploaded it, whatever we're calling it, to Dropbox, and then turn around and pulled it back out of Dropbox. Same thing. So, thanks for the explanation. Now I'm educated on that.
Yeah, sometimes you can take the document and save it to your desktop or your documents, and then open it from there. But if you try to open it right from an email, it will complain. And then there's also, you know, a thing you can do where you set a trusted location in your computer. And so that's what I'll do is I'll save the file to my documents, and then I'll make my documents folder a trusted location. And so basically the computer says, you know, any file that's in this location, the user has told me it's okay to open files that have the mark of the web, and then it will do it. And then once the mark of the web, you know, once you kind of open it and then save it yourself, it kind of overrides the mark of the web. And there is ways in, like, properties that you can turn that off. But yeah, it's definitely kind of a nuisance. And then there's other ways to share documents that don't have that. You can use OneDrive. Microsoft's, you know, you pay for your OneDrive and you're sharing a document with another user. And that's supposed to be like a public deployment of your spreadsheet. And so if you use their infrastructure, then it doesn't get the mark of the web. So that's actually something I'm thinking about doing, you know, because Excel can behave a lot like Google Sheets, where multiple users can edit a cell if you have it hosted on a OneDrive. And so depending on where everything goes, you know, that might be something we look at.
Yeah, that OneDrive sounds like an actual possibility, because in essence, we're not really using it now, but we do have two Dropbox accounts, and I've shared a folder with Dave's free Dropbox account and mine, and that's how we transfer documents back and forth. So in essence, we're doing that, but that's probably not the best way. Question number two on the PowerPoint presentation. This one is saved as a .pptx. What is the difference between a pptx and a ppt?
That would just be the type of document. A ppt would be more compatible with older versions of PowerPoint, but a pptx is kind of the newer template for the PowerPoint, and it's not as backwards compatible as the PT. The older versions of PowerPoint like the PPT. So that could be another issue that Dave's running into is, you know, you save the PPTX and see his version of PowerPoint isn't as new, and so it complains about versions, basically. And then, like, if you make a PPTX and then try to save it as a PPT, it can prompt you and tell you, hey, there's some features of this PowerPoint that are not compatible, and then PowerPoint will offer to convert them and, you know, dumb them down and whatnot. But there's also a PPTM, which is a macro-enabled PowerPoint. Just like in Excel, there's an XLSX, which is kind of the normal file. And then there's also the XLS, which is an old normal file. And then there's the XLSM, which is a macro-enabled workbook. So, it's just mainly versions. The older versions didn't have as much feature support as they do now.
I copy that. I appreciate it. Locally, on my own desktop, it works fine both ways. I've saved it as a PPTX and a PPT, and it works fine. Well, the one I emailed today was a PPTX, and I haven't even communicated with him today. I just went back in to see, you know, double-click it, make sure it worked, and boom. The one I emailed, you know, in my email outbox, it didn't like it. It didn't like to open. So let me ask you a question. If I were to email this file to you, do you have a way to, number one, make sure there's nothing bad in it before you touch it? And then, number two, see if it actually works, and you could be like a tertiary backup in case somehow my thumb drive doesn't work.
Yeah, absolutely. Send it over in an email. I'm pretty sure you should have access to my email. If not, you can find my QRZ and my emails on there. But yeah, I'll definitely be able to find a way to get it to work. So shouldn't be a problem.
All right, greatly appreciate it. I'm going to do that. And yes, I do have your email, and I will also post the roster too. And a little disclaimer: if anyone finds any typos, let me know. I'll fix it.
Sounds good. Well, I appreciate all your hard work and due diligence. You are always chipping away at something. So, all right. Well, I'm just about to pull up to work. Kind of running late today. So I will let you go. But for now, this is KE8WUO. I will be monitoring in about 20 minutes up in my office. So I'll be standing by. 73.
Thanks, John. I'll be on statewide one as well. And I do have a top of my list to do is, when time permits, I want to see that cert log demo. But we'll do that another time. N8WRO. We'll talk soon.
K8DIY mobile and monitoring.
KF8ETQ, you back over here now. I can change the list for you, Darren. To make sure that denote that your event one checked off. N8WRO.
KF8ETQ, I am now back on the regular channel.
Understood. And what I'm in the process of updating first correction on the list, and I will put you qualified for event one. Copy. N8WRO. Yeah, you didn't have the check mark because we didn't do the event one check, but we just did it, so on your line there, I'll put the check mark, and we'll republish the list in a few minutes here. Thanks, Darren. N8WRO.
KE8OAX, monitoring statewide one.
N8WRO, did you want to test that, Dean, or are you set?
Yeah, sorry about that, Tim. I was driving, and I probably shouldn't have had my phone in my hand, but I didn't see what room the message was in, and when I seen event 4, I got confused, and I was like, wait a minute, I haven't tested event 4. But then after downloading and reading the fine print, I understood. So no, I should be good on event 1, but I'll bring my laptop and all my programming cords in tonight just to confirm. I also sent you a picture direct message. Accompanying that video, that message with the timestamp, or that picture with the timestamp, should be enough to confirm that everything was done as it should be. Back over to you, Tim.
Copy on both topics. Yeah, basically for event one, you've already got the T-shirt. You're rated for it. You're good to go. And we may be doing some at the meeting. We'll see. And then item two, with all what we discussed, I'm going to vouch for the fact you're good on that level one optional when you approach Mike for sign-off tonight. You're all set on that. Appreciate it. Thanks. We'll talk later. N8WRO.
N8WRO, K8LAX. I appreciate all your help, and we will see you this evening. 73, this is QF8, Lima Alpha X-ray monitoring.
Alpha X-ray, this is N8VDZ. Mike, how
are
you doing today?
N8VDZ, how are you doing this evening? I shouldn't even say evening, it's only afternoon. How are you today?
Yeah, don't push it. I got way too much to do before the meeting, so please, no, not just you yet. Yeah, I just wanted to check if you got some sign-offs coming.
Copy that, affirmative. I can come in a little bit early to take care of that, because believe it or not, I have actually quite a few that need to be signed off on, so I will come early. How early would you like me? QF8, Lima Alpha X-ray.
I will be there at 6. I need to set up the laptop for the presentation part, and then I'm free to do sign-off. So between 6:10 and 6:15, I should be I should be available to help whatever anybody needs. And it'd be easy, back to you.
6:10 to 6:15. Copy that.
Cool. All right, we'll see you tonight. Have a great day. This is November 8th, Victor Alpha Zulu, and I'll be monitoring and standing by.
7-3, I appreciate it. This is KE8LAX monitoring.
K8YN, KCKJO. KCKJO monitoring, 3.1.
KE8SPR.
What's going on? Just finishing the day.
Yeah, same here. Starting the drive home from the good old tech center. Rolling down 12 miles 94. Whereabouts are you rolling from today, Tom?
Over here, Auburn Hills, off of Metal Circle or whatever else. Going to go cruise down and got the meeting tonight at 7 over at the MITC building, or MDIC, whatever it is.
That's right. Yeah, there is that meeting tonight. I'm probably not going to make it tonight. Dad's coming over tonight, and we're making some venison summer sausage. So that's going to take up most of my evening, but the outcome will be good.
Yeah, you're going to try to make the nets over the next couple weeks. Did Tim send you a postcard? Or I think he sent you a postcard, right?
Yeah, it's going to be over the next couple of days. Got to get a pork rind in tonight and stuff it. Do the fine grind and season and stuff it all tomorrow. And then we're actually doing snack sticks, so it's a quicker process. It'll probably be smoked either tomorrow evening or Saturday morning. But, yes, to your other question, Tim did send me a postcard already, so I definitely want to get to the next meeting. You know, living on the border, I'm okay being a dual citizen of the two different parks, counties.
Yeah, you're right there on the border. Hey, the St. Clair one was pretty interesting, though. I liked it.
I agree. I really liked it. It was a very nice EOC as well compared to what I had up in Hope and Keweenaw County. We had there's a bank that had a basement that wasn't used, and they just so happened to have a tower. So we got to use the basement of a bank, and it worked out. But it wasn't as nice as the EOC at the airport there. We just had a solid brick room with a couple base station radios and a couple computers. Nothing like St. Clair County EOC there.
I'm hoping we can get a tour of McCombs. I was in there when it was still under construction. Well, not under construction, but it wasn't full production yet. It was pretty darn cool. No, it's at Casson Grossbeck. It used to be where the Mount Clemens Pottery was at.
Okay, interesting. Casson Grossbeck. I don't venture down that way too often. I mean, as you can imagine, being up well north of there. But yeah, that'll be pretty sweet to check out at some point. Already looking at how to get some stuff going for a VHF UHF base at home, and that MG9600 sure looks like a good winner for a home base station.
Oh yeah, like I said, I have one. I let my coworker use it for GMRS, and you know, when we get a couple miles apart, I'm gonna jump over to the repeater. But it does pretty good on distance. Sounds like.
That's good to hear. I was looking into that, what is it, the Open GD77 firmware you were talking about? The website got a little confusing to me. It sounds like you have to take apart the housing of the radio to look at what version hardware you have to get the right firmware to flash on there. But with that open firmware, will it still allow you to program in DMR channels?
In the guest spot over there by Oakland University.
Yeah. That sounded like a winner. It was part of the reading I was doing online about that radio is the TYT stock firmware is not the greatest per se. little more cumbersome. And I happen to have an older MD380 single band, and programming that thing was a bear compared to even the high terror and the Motorola that I got.
Yeah, when I got the 380, I mean, I got it all boxed. I mean, it was brand new in the box. The guy looked at it and said, nah, I'm not going to do it. He didn't want to mess with it, so I got it. And then I messed around with it for a little bit, and I still was having issues with it. So I handed it over to Captain Don, and he flashed it with MD OpenGD 77. It works just fine. You know, that's the AC I got here in the van. And the TYT, I got a plug for that also. So when I get my TYT back, that I'll just upload the original code plug that I programmed in it. And that'll be on its way to go.
Awesome. That sounds kind of nice that the one firmware goes across multiple brands. So one code plug to rule them all, per se, in between a couple different the Chinese brands instead of having 20 different unique programming softwares and the mess that comes with trying to handle all the different code plugs and want to update this one, wrong software, that whole mess.
Absolutely. Like I said, the OpenGD, it's way more easier to understand and go through compared to the stock firmware and the TYTs. And once I got that in there, like I said, I'm just going crazy on the programming. And now that I've learned Moto Turbo, I mean, that's coming a lot quicker to me too each time I use it.
That's good to hear. Which version of Turbo CTS are you using? Are you using the newest CTS 2.0 or call it legacy, but the CTS 16?
CTS 2.0. is what I got on there right now. I mean, I have access to the other ones. You know, I got a Motorola account for other than just for radios. I got the Avigilon systems out there, so I got that link as well. And yeah, I just upload from the radio. I bought the wideband feature for it, put that in there, and now I just rock and roll, set it all up. Got the four roaming zones for 51, 52, 53, and 54.
Perfect. Yeah, I set up my Moto Online account as well. It was way simpler than I thought it was going to be dealing with, you know, a large firm like Moto. I bought the wideband entitlement for my 7550. When I originally programmed it, man, 8 years ago, it was on CTS 16, and I downloaded CTS 2.0, and I just... CTS 2.0 is not quite as user-friendly as 16 was, but I'm kind of getting used to it. On my handheld, I only got the two roaming right now for 51 and 52, but on the Hytera mobile here in the truck, I went through and put in, you know, statewide 1, 2, and event 1 through 4 in a roaming group. So it's pretty nice to have that roaming group.
Yeah, I just did event 1 and event 2. I'll go back down and I'll do event 3 and, event 4, and then I'll have all of them in there in a roaming.
Yeah, I need to put that in the handheld, but when I was going through making the code plug for the mobile here, I was already in there. I figured, what's another, 45 minutes to an hour to just throw statewide 3 or event 3 and event 4 in as well. At least on the the Hytera CPS mimics more like Turbo CPS 16 in that they copy paste everywhere. It's a very intuitive menu based system. It was very simple to just copy paste the channels and then create the roam zones, drag and drop which channels I wanted in each roaming zone.
I gotta look into that. I just created it individually, one by one. If I can drag and drop, that'll be even easier.
Yeah, so did you set up an independent zone for each top group, per se, at 51, 52, with all the channels in that zone, or how did you set it up on your end?
Like right now, it just says IP Connect, which is just the name of the zone. And then it says Alex.
Got it. I set it up pretty similar. I didn't separate by east and west because, there are a bunch of common pairs. So I just have the MI5 roam zone with statewide 1 through event 4. And every one of the pairs is in there because it's really just looking for which repeater pair can I hear the best. So I'll be testing it out, driving all the way to the UP here in 2 weeks. Kind of excited to try that out, see how good the coverage is going up through Mackinac City and how far across US 2 I can get before it starts to break up.
Yeah, my radio's mounted in my van, so it'd be kind of hard to take it out and take it apart and pull the antennas off and put them back on in my daughter's truck, but there's an aluminum body, so it wouldn't work anyways, for Saturday, so I'll figure out something different.
Oh, man, I think I only caught the last half of that. Must have been a little dead zone here. I'm on Gratiot. You're throwing a radio in your daughter's truck. Is that what I got? And it's an aluminum body? Something like, maybe like an F-150 or something like that?
That's exactly what it is an F-150. So it's got the aluminum body. So the magma won't stick to anything, and I'm not drilling holes in my daughter's truck because, my canards where they are.
That's a smart man right there. Yeah, that's one of the downfalls to foregoing all aluminum for us radio operators. It's rough to throw magma out on aluminum, but I've seen some innovative things come up. I saw this big suction cup mount for the back window, and it has a ground strap that goes down to the chassis because the chassis is still all steel on the F-150s. So that might be an option for a truck like hers for a longer term install.
Yeah, it's probably going to just be radio silence on Saturday because it's a family day. Myself, my wife, and my daughter and her boyfriend, and we're going to go out, we're just going up to the UP for the day, eat some pasties, and then drive a little bit further, eat some more pasties, go to Mackinac City, eat some fudge, and then come home.
That sounds like a great family day right there. The pasties are a great thing to have while you're in the UP. And while you're going through St. Ignace, right over the bridge, if you jump on US 2, there's Clyde's Drive-In Burgers. What an incredible burger shop that is. If you're feeling up for it, they have what's called the Big C Burger. It is a 3/4-pound burger that they smother in Velveeta cheese and throw a bunch more toppings on. I've only seen it. I did not attempt to eat that because it was just a ridiculous-sized burger.
I heard about them. No, I'm going up for the pasties. I was up, unbeknownst to my family. My coworker and I had to go to Petoskey for a run, and then that became a farce. We had to go over to Sheboygan, and when we were there, we took care of that. That took a whole 5 minutes, so we were up there for a while. So then we went up over the bridge, and it was right around lunchtime, so we jumped down, and all I remember is turning left and going to this place. It's like a Fellows or something like that, pasties. It's like 15 minutes west of the bridge.
Yep, I know the shop you're talking about. I've driven that drive way too many times. So, yeah, 15 minutes left of the break. I think it is, fellows. I can picture the small little shack in my head. Couldn't tell you the exact name of it. I have not stopped at that plastic shop. Because usually I just keep driving west to Marquette or Houghton or even down into, I guess, Cahaba. And hit local shops there, but I'm sure they make a good pasty right there at the bridge.
Well, my wife and daughter went up there because she went to Charlevoix for a book fair, and they ended up going up over the bridge and stopped off at one of the other pasty places. But I like this one that was just west of the bridge. You know, like I said, it's like 15 minutes west. Nice little shack there. They're fresh made, so as soon as you, I mean, it's already, they just make it, and then they just give you a side of gravy, which I love. You know, gravy is best on the pasty. That's how I liked it. And a big thing of coleslaw, and I was in seventh heaven.
Yeah, that sounds like a good meal. It's funny you mentioned gravy, though, because living on the west side of the UP, they will kick you out of the pasty shop if you ask for gravy. It's they're all ketchup people over there, so that's what I've been raised on, but I like them both ways, either with a nice dark beef gravy or ketchup.
They were serving it with gravy, so that's what I got it with. I thought that was the normal way. I don't know. I'm a troll. I've always been a troll.
Yeah, on the east side of the UP, that is gravy is the norm. But on the west side of the UP, you get a little bit more into the Finnish background on the western UP, and it's ketchup, no gravy.
Well, I like ketchup too. The one that I got had rutabaga in it, and I like rutabaga.
Yeah, rutabaga makes a pasty. I'm a firm believer that it's not a pasty unless there's some rutabaga in there.
Yeah, if you got broccoli and all that other stuff in there, then it's just a folded meat pie. You know, rutabaga is the way to go. Rutabaga, tomatoes, onions, you know, and then the chip beef in it. Oh, yeah. That's the way I like it. Easy, ketchup.
Yep, you are speaking my language there. That is a way for a pasty. There is a place over in Calumet I've been wanting to try. Apparently they do a little more traditional. Instead of the chipped beef, they use...
Oh, I lost that one. You said they used, and then I lost you. I don't know if you dropped the key. Where'd you go, Mike? I lost you. Okay, Joe.
Yeah, it looks like his network dropped. You sound good, though.
My network dropped or the network dropped?
No, the guy that you were talking to, he dropped out all of a sudden, but I heard you the whole time, just letting you know. So you know it's not you. K-A-F-A-D-A.
Hey, Dave. It was not me. It was something with the network, then I take it?
Yeah, I would say, you know, it could be his hot, if he's on a hot spot, it could be, you know, network. I'm on Brandmeister, so I know the Brandmeister link is working.
Yeah, I'm on MI5 Rome, and I think Mike is mobile as well.
K-A-S-C-R.
There you are. Hey, Dave, you coming to the meeting tonight at 7 o'clock?
I got to do some cleaning here. K-F-A-S. Talk to you guys later.
All right, you back, Mike? K-C-K-G-O.
Yeah, I'm back. Not quite sure what happened there. I had to come to the South on 94 right over... right over the Clinton River, just went silent.
Well, you're on the Mount Clemens Tower, right, or are you on a hot spot?
No, I'm on the Mount Clemens Tower right now, and I'm not Roman, so I wasn't looking for anything. I'm just heading to the Mount Clemens Tower.
Yeah, so am I. I'm in here in Shelby Township.
Yeah, it's weird. I've been needing to, now that the rain has kind of cleared up, I think I got some issue going on with the fender mount antenna. I have a mag mount. I just want to throw that up on the roof, drive around, see if that improves some reception issues I've had recently. And if it does, time to start looking at something different. If it doesn't, I'll probably throw my handheld in on this antenna that I'm using now to see if maybe it's a radio problem.
Double check your mounting, make sure it's nice and tight, and I mean that'll cause it, make sure it didn't loosen up or make the hole bigger by being stripped or something. I've seen that happen.
That's a good call. I will double check that. Because, it's been quite frustrating. Analog is way worse than digital. Digital just drops out, but analog, it's I'll get three quarters of a word and then it's gone. So, I'll triple check all the connections. That maybe my coax got nicked while I was running it through the sill plate. I'm not sure.
Yeah, if you're losing analog and it's kind of staticky, more likely you got a slick ground on there. So yeah, make sure that the mount is nice and tight, ratchet tight it. You know, make sure it's a good bond there. And if it's aluminum on steel, you might have some, powder. Because aluminum and steel don't like mixing. So maybe clean that up a little bit and then remount it. Get a good ground point going there.
Yeah, that's a good call. I'll have to double check that. A couple weeks back, I took the mount off and figured maybe there was a film buildup or I don't know. The mount is supposed to be stainless steel. I'm not sure if they put, you know, some sort of Palladyne coating or anti-rust coating on it. So I took a little die grinder and just ground into the metal a little bit on both sides and around the NMO mount. Make sure to get ground, but I'll have to triple check all that again and triple check the connection on the back of the radio.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of dielectric grease or something just to keep the oxidation down.
That's a good call. I hadn't even thought of some dielectric grease. And I'll probably have to just stop and grab a tube of that because only tube of dielectric grease I have that I can think of is probably 10 years old.
I tell you, people are crazy on 23 mile roads. That's ridiculous.
I like to call 23 mile road the snake pit, especially 23 in Gratiot. That's just a nightmare there. I kind of avoid it like the plague, if I can.
I avoid these areas at all costs. But I was up in Auburn Hills. I was in Troy earlier, and then went up to Auburn Hills. Coworker got the key to his new service truck, and told my boss, "Yeah, I'll take the full size and get out of this thing here." Kind of cleaned it up a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. I can't throw anything away in the trash that is of electronic components.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm sure the company wants all of their electronics back, even though they're just going to throw them away themselves, most likely. Hey, you know, if you were in Auburn Hills, if you don't mind some dirt roading, there's a back road out. I used to work out that way, and a Snell Road. Take you into, you can kind of find your way across Snell, and that'll jump you up to 28, you know, around the backside of Stony Creek. Jump up 28, take Old Van Dyke to 29 or 32 and across, you know, it'll take you up into Romeo, take that across to Memphis.
Okay, Joe. Usually what we do is we take Squirrel to Silverbell, Silverbell to Adams, Adams to Clarkston, and then Clarkston down to which turns into Stony Creek, take that to Rochester, to Romeo Road, or I-32, to Fisher, and then Fisher to 34, and then come up the back way up Boardman. That's the way we usually go, avoid Paul Road altogether. But I'm taking 23 because I'm just, like, wasting time to before I get to the meeting.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Doesn't really make sense for you to go all the way back home just to go all the way back to the MISD building. That's a lot of unnecessary driving right there.
Exactly. Like I said, I'll get there early. I'll stop by and grab a couple burgers or something, but yeah, I'll just hang out in the park a lot, and then I'll check some of my programming on my, I got to look for a file anyways for city business, see if I have a PowerPoint on it, and I told the city clerk that I'd let her know either way.
Gotcha. Well, so you get a burger and a little bit of work done, and there you go, and check some code plugs. And if you have even more time, I'm sure if you wanted to, you could pull up your healing link again, like Tuesday night. See if that's still working.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that, too. I mean, my laptop's right here behind me in the cargo bay. That would be beneficial, too, since we're going to do something with it in class, I think. Yeah, like I said, I got to check some emails anyways for the city, that the city clerk sent to us. I can see my associates, planning commissioners, and see if they have any responses to it. I'll have to do with the condo building that we have going out in the city.
Oh, joy, new construction planning commission. That's everyone's favorite use of time. Total sarcasm there.
I make like $20 a meeting, so if I have a meeting every month, 12 months, that's $240. So $120 check every 6 months to be the planning commissioner, I don't mind it. Plus, it's kind of a neat gig. Oh, I sit on the planning commission, all right. I'm the chairperson.
There you go. So you know everything that's going on in your town.
Not everything, but when it comes to the development of property in the city or rezoning a piece of property for development, then, yeah, they go to the planning commission. And ordinances, if they request a change to an ordinance, it goes through the planning commission, and we talk about it, put it up for a public notice, and then we vote on it, yay or nay kind of thing. So, yeah, like I said, you learn a lot. I mean, this is going to be my second term. I already did a 3-year term. Now I'm on my second 3-year term. I was asked if I wanted to still do this. Yeah, sure. And I got appointed the position of chair. So I've had that now for 2 years, 2.5 years.
Very nice. That's a pretty cool gig there, especially with the new development. I'm sure Memphis, folks are real interested in what's going on with new developments. All the small towns I've lived in, they're very keen on what developers want to do to their town.
Yeah, just that this development has a little bit of a debacle in it, that was there before I joined the commission. Prior to that, I was on the tax review board for the city. Ran for mayor, lost it by 5 votes, maybe 10 max. And then since I didn't do that, they asked if I wanted to be on the planning commission. I'm like, sure. Did that, and the chairperson at the time, and the assistant and the co-chair, I guess you could say, or vice chair, they were doing it, and then the chair had to leave. No, the vice chair left first because she had other commitments, and then I got appointed vice chair, and then the chairperson left due to work schedules, and then I got appointed chair, and I've been there ever since.
Very nice. Very nice. But, only losing by 5 or 10 votes, but planning another mayor run at some point?
No, I was going to run again this past election, but I'm like, we have the condo development that's going in, and that's a big can of worms right now. So I'm like, I'm not dumping this problem in somebody else's lap. So I stayed, and so I got reappointed again. And I'm not planning on moving anytime soon. The mayor, she was the vice chair of the planning commission. She ran against the incumbent and won, and she's very effective. I like her being there. She's got a good head on her shoulders. She's a former Marine, and I respect her opinion a lot. And she owns the bar in town, so she's really cool. She's easy to work with. She's tough, but she's easy to work with.
Well, that sounds like a bunch of good reasons to keep her there, especially owner of the bar in town. That's an important one person to keep happy. whereabouts is a condo development going up in Memphis?
Pratt and Bell River. right where the baseball fields are at. There's a big empty lot right there, and I forgot how many acres, but they want to develop a 68-unit condo association, and it's a mess, kind of, you know, kind of in a way. I mean, they wanted variances for these buildings, and the variances were turned down, so now we got more meetings, more lawyers, more this, more that, and developers, and engineers, city officials, and there's just a whole bunch of people involved in it now.
My goodness, that sounds like a mess. But over by the, I think I'm familiar with where you're talking about. I'm not super familiar with Memphis, but of course, drive through it when I'm heading up to I-69 to hit the road north. But I've done some fishing on the Bell River there a little bit at the park off of N-19. And I think I know the baseball fields you're talking about. That would be interesting if a 68-unit condo association goes in there.
Yeah, they want to build them a certain size, but our ordinance regulates the size and the height and the width of the roads and everything else like that. And what they're proposing or what their plans are don't meet our ordinance, and so they were turned down for variances, and they're not, they don't want to budge. So now it's gone more into legal aspects of it, I guess, is the best way to say it.
Well, if there's one thing developers are not lacking on, that's attorneys. So, yeah, that's going to be a bit of a mess. Oh, boy. Yeah. My father used to sit on the Lenox Township Planning Commission when he lived in Lenox, and some of the things he would tell me, some of the stories people wanted, especially as marijuana recreationally became legal. So that was a whole can of worms, because they got a prime strip in Lenox Township right down Gratiot between Chesterfield and Richmond, and everybody and their brother wanted to put up a pot shop on Gratiot, and it turned into an absolute mess that they had to sort through.
Yep, same with us. You know, it was during the pandemic. They wanted to build one. I think I don't know what happened was one was honored, one wasn't. Somebody jumped the gun on something or misread the paperwork, and that turned the same thing and turned into a big debacle. That was sorted out by a magistrate, and now we have two dispensaries. And I know the dispensary you're talking about on Gratiot, that's High Society, right there across from the new IBEW plant up there.
Yep, that's the one. That's the one. I got High Society there. Yeah, you got your Motor City Electric, IBEW shop across the street. Right next door to High Society is the used tractor dealership, which is always an interesting place to drive by. You never know what they're going to have in their yard.
Yep, and then you have Consumers Energy with their service shop there. Yep, I used to have the Township Hall until last year sometime. Last year or the year before last, I had their access system and camera system in there. And then somebody outfitted us.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Small world. Yeah, it's a nice township hall that Lenox has there. Where I'm at here in Casco now, it's a converted house, so it's a nice, quaint, small township hall. I like it. It suits where I want to live.
Yeah, ours is going to be moving once all the paperwork and finances and stuff are all done. We're moving into the old funeral home across the street. Bigger facilities, able to hold more. There's a nice big area for, community room, I guess you can say, for holding meetings and, small events and stuff like that, instead of borrowing the Lions Club or the VFW Hall or something. So, and there's, offices upstairs, downstairs. So, a lot of room. A lot of room for the two girls that are working around file cabinets and paperwork.
Well, that will be a nice move for you guys. I'm sure the paperwork is going to take some time, so it's not like you'll be moving in there tomorrow. But it'll be real nice to have a little community center. That was the nice thing about Lenox, is their hall was big enough that there was a nice community center, big park there. It was a pretty cool township hall. But, hey, I am pulling into my driveway, so I'm going to say 73 for now, Tom. I will be clear on your final, KEA-SCR.
Sounds good, Mike. I still got a little bit of ways to go, but I'll just park up at the college yard, do some paperwork. Have yourself a fine night. Happy sausage making, I guess you could say. Venison sausage is the best. A little bit of spice in there. Give it a kick. 73 for now. KCA-KJO.
KCA-KJO, NAWRO, Hall Road.
NAWRO, KCA-KJO. Where you at? Where you at, Tim?
Yeah, almost there at the Garfield and Hall. What's that restaurant we were at before, Tom?
Meet at National Coney for coffee.
Yeah, that's the one. No, I want those chicken finger things. They were good. And I'll bring my laptop in. I'm early. I do want to get there for Mike about 6. So, but it's 5. So I'll meet you there in about 5.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, I'm just coming up on 21, so I'll be there in about 5. KPAK Joe.
Copy that. NAWRO clear.
I'm never clear. I'm always barking. KPAK Joe.
Me too, right by the college. I'll be there shortly in AWRO.
Okay, WRO. Tim from Richmond, you out there? KDG standing by.
KE8LAX, monitoring statewide 1. Echo 8 Lima Alpha X-ray monitoring statewide 1.
KF 8 CWF monitoring.
Station calling here loud and clear into the system. Just FYI, KD 8 DXQ.
Kilo Echo 8 Lima Alpha X-ray.
KF 8 CWF.
KCKJO.
KYMU on statewide 1.
KCKJO. KCKJO. Who do we got out there tonight?
KE 8 LAX monitoring statewide 1.